Tonight, once again, I welcome Pastor Stephen Koo. Yes, presently he is pastor of Bethel Bible Presbyterian Church in Melbourne. But he is back here also to help with the Bible College, Far Eastern. And we have the blessing of his ministering here tonight. He will be speaking from the Psalm we have just read, the Psalm 51. Grace, the grace of God, greater than our sins.
I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross 2,000 years ago, and because of his death all our sins can be forgiven. On the third day he rose again from the dead to seal our resurrection, so our resurrection will be like his resurrection. And he promised to come back again to take all his disciples, all of you who are bought by his precious blood, to take to be with him forever and ever and ever. How wonderful it is. And he said three times in the book of Revelation that he will come back soon. And indeed it will be soon. If you study the Bible, read the Bible, read his sermons, his messages before he ascended regarding the end times, the signs of his second coming, when his disciples asked him what sign will be the end of the world, if you are a diligent Bible student, you will know, because you are the children of light, that the time of his coming again is indeed very soon, very, very near. Tonight's message is entitled Grace Greater Than Our Sins. As I shared with you previously, that the book of Psalms reveals the greatness and the goodness of the one living and true God, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that are therein. Like Psalm 51 reveals the marvelous grace of the Lord our God towards depraved, sinful man like you and me. This psalm has been entitled Grace Greater Than Our Sins. Whose grace are we talking about here? It is God's grace. And whose sin are we talking about here? It is man's sins, yours and mine. So let us make this very clear. It is God's grace, man's sin. Sometimes we read this title, even Paul himself will say that when people read this and when they speak about the grace of God is greater than our sins, it means that we can sin and sin and sin, and then God will always show his grace more and more. The more we sin, as Paul says, the grace of God abounds even more. And then Paul says, therefore, why not we sin more? And then Paul says what? God forbid. It should not be that way. It should not be that way. Today we will see in Psalm 51. How we can really approach God and appropriate that grace of God in the right way. which is God's way, which is acceptable and pleasing to Him. Now, sin is basically pride and rebellion of man against God. Let me say that again. Sin, no matter how big or how great or small it is basically the pride and rebellion of men against God. Sin is because we have pride. When we sin, it's because we have pride and we rebel against God. Trace every sin committed by all of us or each one of us, and it will show eventually or finally, if we examine ourselves, that we are motivated by our pride and our rebellion against God's commandments. When a person lies or bear false witness against another, it is because of his pride, of himself first. And then when he sins by lying, it is rebellion against God's commandments. That is only a simple example. In fact, every sin basically is motivated by pride and rebellion against God. Now the Bible declares the wages of sin is death. This is not the physical death that just not the physical death that we witnessed commonly in our lives, but it is talking about the second death, which the Bible speaks of in Revelation chapter 20. The second death, the eternal death, that those who are not in Christ Jesus, who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, who die in their sins, will be raised from the dead and stand before God and be judged and be sentenced and cast into the lake of fire to be tormented. Not one day, not 10 days, not 10 weeks, not 1 year, not 10 years, but forever and ever and ever and ever. No annihilation. That tells us how terrible it is. And some of us may think, how can a loving God sentence a person who rejects Christ, die in their sin and cast into the lake of fire forever? How come? How can God do that? Yes, He can, because we don't understand His holiness. How holy and righteous is God. So that we must understand. But because of the love of God, for God so loved the world, the love of God and the grace of God, He desires that none should perish. None should perish. God created all of us to be with Him and live forever. God created Adam and all his descendants. We are all His descendants to live with Him forever and ever and ever with Him. We sin against Him and the wages of sin is death. And God, because of His love and grace for us, He desires none should perish. He says, I have no desire. God says, I have no delight at all in the death of a sinner. So, because of His love, His grace, He wants all of us, every sinner, all of us, not to perish, but to repent, believe in Christ, and be saved. And He can do that. And if only you will obey Him, He can save you from this terrible condemnation in hell. I hope because of this, some of you who are not Christians, because of this final torment and suffering in hell forever and ever, will shake you out of your slumber and say, I want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright, I hope at the end of this service, or even now, if you want to stand up and say, I want to believe, God bless you, and someone will lead you to this saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope, because he is already in the Bible here. If you have not read it, then I have told you in Revelation chapter 20. You don't have Jesus Christ in you, you reject him. And when you die in your sins, you go to hell, tormented forever and ever and ever. And at that time, nothing. You cannot even quote God's scriptures and say, you don't want me to. You love me. Where's your grace? The grace is now. Now is the period of grace. Not at that time. Even if your sins or my sins are as red as crimson, as black as charcoal, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can cleanse the stains of our sins completely and totally. And we shall be delivered from the fires of hell and be reconciled to God. And then you can call God my Father in heaven. What a privilege it is. Many of you are Christians here. You have just prayed the prayer, our Father, which art in heaven. You cannot call God your Father if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to go into his presence at any time, Father in heaven, and speak to him. How wonderful it is. Do you experience that joy in your heart? This is important. Yes, oh, how gracious and merciful is God, who forgives and cleanses us of all our sins and who creates a clean heart and renews a right spirit within us. Whenever we pray to him, we plead with him, we earnestly plead with him, when we sincerely confess and repent of our sins, God is gracious. He will take us back to him. Psalm 51 teaches us how we therefore can approach God and appropriate his wonderful grace so that our sins can be wholly forgiven and cleansed. David, who penned this psalm, which is divinely recorded and preserved for our learning, that we, like David, may also approach God, know how to approach God, and be fully reconciled to him. So let us turn to that psalm and learn this wonderful truth, this way back to God. So with your Bible, please turn to Psalm 51. What was David's sin? Did not mention here, but he described it here. He confessed his sin. What was his sin? In verse 1 and 2 here, have mercy upon me. Here David earnestly pleaded with God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Plural. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. What was David's sin? Well, the title of this earlier part, before the first verse here, the title tells us the sin described to us. What was David's sin? David has committed adultery. He lusted after another man's wife, Bathsheba. He took her. And when she was pregnant with him, he tried to cover up his sin, but it did not work. And in desperation, he ordered a lawyer, the husband of Bathsheba, his loyal and faithful soldier, to be placed in the battlefront so that he would surely be killed. So he could take Bathsheba as his concubine, as his wife. That's terrible. And at that time, David was king, you know. He was a great king because at that time, Israel was a superpower in the Middle East, the king. He thought he could do what he likes. He did it. That was David's sin. Nobody dared to say anything against him. But who knows? In every sin, sometimes we think that people do not know. You know, you look left and right, up and down. Nobody knows. Oh, we have to, because we are living in a housing board, we have to look up and down, left and right, not enough. You think people do not know? Yes, sometimes maybe you can cover up. And we human beings are so cunning and clever, you know. We tell a lie, we can tell another lie to cover this lie, and another lie to cover another lie, that second lie, and so on and so forth, you know. And we think that we are smart. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But God knows. And God knew, God saw his servant David, a man after his own heart, sinned this terrible sin. So David thought it's all right. Yeah, so God sent his servant, his prophet, Nathan, go and talk to David. So Nathan went to David. Nathan told David a parable. A farmer had only one sheep, and this neighbor, rich man, had many sheep. And he got friends coming to his house, and instead of killing his own, one of his sheep, you know, he took this little poor man's sheep, only sheep, and killed him, and feed his neighbors. When Nathan told his story to David, David was so furious. Who is that man? And Nathan said, you are the man. Why did God call David a man after my own heart? After his own heart? Why? When he was convicted, you know. He did not call God, take Nathan away and cut off his head. He did not do that. He was convicted straight away. He felt shameful. He was brought down completely. He was convicted of his sin. He suffered terribly. Turn to Psalm 38. Maybe here we have an idea of the feeling that is in his heart. Psalm 38. The Psalm of David. Psalm 38, verse 3. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thy anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head, so as a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I'm troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. And there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Oh, I was crying out. How to be delivered from this? It was David's feeling. And I think he believed with all my heart. He wrote Psalm 51, God being gracious and merciful because he got convicted. And the first thing that he did, what was the first thing that one need to do whenever one is convicted of sin? First is to go to God. Here he is. Have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy. He earnestly pleaded with God. Have mercy upon me. And he acknowledged that God can blot out all his sins. He pleaded for God's grace, mercy, and loving kindness. God have mercy upon me. It's all that he deserved. He deserved death, and he asked for mercy. We have nothing to bring before God. Nothing. You and I have nothing. It's quite sometimes very easy for a humble person to say we are of low birth. Some of us are lowly birth. We have nothing. But some people who are born with a silver or golden spoon in their mouth, and they have everything. And sometimes they think they are very powerful. They are great. And they climb up the corporation as CEO, the CEO, that chairman, this chairman, that. They think that they are better than others. And then sometimes in the later parts of their life, they want to give their money to charity. And they think that they can buy their salvation through all these good works. But not with God. God is the one who decides whether they are better and they are good or not. They are all filthy rags. Actually, look at us very carefully. Strip ourselves all naked completely. Naked, I come into this world. Strip all of us, no matter where you stand, strip us completely naked. We are nothing. True. The word of God says, the best person in this world, the very best, is nothing but vanity. Very true. And when we are convicted of our sins, we go to God and do what is the first thing to do, please. First thing, whenever we sin and we convict our sin, what is the first thing to do? Like David, we plead for mercy. Lord, have mercy upon me. Acknowledge his grace, his loving kindness, his tender mercies. And ask God to wash us. Plead for the blood of Christ again. Yes, wash us. And I shall be completely clean. There you have David. After this plea for mercy, what is the next step? And here we have in verse 3 to verse 5 here, he says, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is before me. Against thee, only thee, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified. The next step is confession. You must confess your sin. So here David confessed his sin before God. When you sin, when I sin, after we plead for the mercy of God, for the grace of God, grace, God's grace is greater than our sins. Then the next step. You see, David acknowledged that. In his plea for mercy, acknowledged that your loving kindness, your tender mercies, your grace, your mercy. But what is the next step? He confessed his sins. Lord, I sin against you. That is important. You don't stop there. Alright? Then what is the next? You know, in this part here where David really described himself, yet he's a depraved person. Very depraved. Even he says that I was even conceived in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. He has that seed, that sinful nature in him already. He acknowledged all that. Just imagine, first of all, you have to imagine who this person is, the person who is praying this prayer. Who is he? He is King David. King David. And in the ancient East, at that time, the king is despotic. The king is all-powerful. He can take any of his subjects' life anytime. Powerful. Life and death is in his mouth. And this is the king that has been brought low. He confessed his sin. Alright, we carry on and move on to the next step. After that, what? After he plead for the mercy, and then he confessed his sins, and then if God forgiven all his sins, oh, that's it, very good. Is that the end? Is that okay? If that is okay, you will sin that again. No, he asked for something. And you see what? The next part of confession of sin. Now, just confessing sin is not good enough. There is the next part that he needed to be said. And that is what? A petition. A petition for God to change you. Look at verse 6. Behold, thou desirest. Alright, that's the part where he, from this, he understood. Actually, from this experience, he found out the truth. But thou desirest truth in the inward parts. He told. In other words, he expressed to God, God, you know my heart. I'm saying this right from the bottom of my heart. I'm really sincere. I'm honest. And then verse 7, he says, purge me with hyssop. And then if you read in the Old Testament, it's the hyssop that he used to sprinkle the blood of the lamb. So in other words, he's saying that. And I shall be clean, washed, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear. So there is a make me to hear joy and gladness. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out my iniquities. Then he says what? In verse 10. That's very important. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. His heart was dirty. His mind was dirty when he looked at Bathsheba. His spirit was not right. And he called Bathsheba's husband, recalled back from the battlefront, and then sent him back right to the front and make sure that he got killed. His spirit was not right. And then he was very frightened. Cast me not away from thy presence. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He had that joy before when he walked with God. When God called him, he was for God. And how he slew Goliath. Wow! That joy was in him. And how many times Saul wanted to kill him. And God protected him. He enjoyed that joy. The joy of salvation. Restore to me. Uphold me. He said. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. You plead for the mercy of God. You confess your sins. They're not good enough. The next one you must ask. Create in me a clean heart and a right spirit within me. You see? There is a turning away and a turning to. Turning away is not enough. There is a before and after, right? If you always see before, somebody advertises you, say, okay, you are this size, you can. Before! And then he shows you nothing after. You don't want. You must have something after. Before, after, before, after. Also in the matter of our spirit, our spiritual life. When we confess our sin, we plead for the mercy of God, we confess our sins, there must be asking for God to change us. Not that after confess our sins, God, thank you very much. Your grace is so wonderful. Your grace is so wonderful. So after that, I go and continue to sin again. And then come to God, that's it. Your grace is so wonderful. No, that's wrong. David wasn't that. After that, he says what? God, create in me a clean heart and renew my spirit. He said that. Because after that, David did not commit another sin. Did not commit adultery again. He did not see another woman and say, okay, I want you. Where's your husband? Kill your husband. And then go to God again. God, forgive me. No, he never do that. He did not do that again. He did not. And so God said, he is a man after my own heart. This is important. Many of us always come to that first. We pray for God's mercy. We ask God for forgiveness. The next step we don't want to do. And then what we say, God is love, God is grace, gracious, His grace is so wonderful. Wonderful grace of Jesus, we sang that. What is the next part? God This is recorded for us, divinely recorded for us, for our learning. And so we must come to this step. And out of this, God gave him something. A truth, a wonderful truth, you know? What is that? Look at verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. In the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. What is that wisdom? That understanding. Turn to verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering, otherwise I would give it. What does he mean? Oh, if really God, you want sacrifices, burnt offering, I can give to you. I'm the king. I can order the priest, the high priest. Come on, you can slaughter thousands of lambs all and offer on your altar and quickly so that this will ascend to God as a sweet savor. If you want all these bullocks, or how many do you want, God? How many do you want? I would sacrifice all this for you. What did he say? For thou desirest not sacrifice, otherwise I would give you. Verse 17. The sacrifices of God is what? They are, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. That's what he has just experienced. A broken and a contrite heart. A repentant heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. He found out this truth. So what is important are not those outward sacrifices, but what is important is his heart. So we can ask David, God himself sees in his heart that truly he is repentant, truly he is now pleading for the grace of God, the mercy of God. Truly he is confessing his sin. Truly he is asking God to create a clean heart and to renew his spirit. Truly. And immersed from his heart, he did say here, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part. Through this he's found out. Through this he could have, I think he could have tempted himself and said, I have sinned. Maybe I better ask the priest to sacrifice, kill more lambs. Hey, how many lambs again? Not enough. Kill some more and put on the altar. What lambs only? They're too cheap. Come on, bullocks. And then do. He could have thought of that. Because he said that if you want sacrifice with the rest, I would have given you. He could have. And from this experience, God revealed to him what he desires. I want the truth. I want your heart to change. Your heart to change. And so he said, create in me a clean heart and a new spirit. Ah, it's so wonderful. This is a wonderful truth. And this is the one that when we confess, we plead for the mercy of God and we confess our sin, the next thing we ask is to create. We don't want to commit that sin again. We ask God to create a clean heart. But don't try. Say, once you have sinned, and then you can say good words, and then you give chocolates to people, gifts, and then you come to church. I better come to church more often. I come early in the morning. Last time you come very late. And now because of your sin, okay, I better come early and tell God, I came early. No, God, nobody was here. I was here. We are the first one to meet you. You know, this is pastor says, coming to church is having this appointment with God. I come early. I'm with you now. And do all good works nice to everybody. Not good enough. If it is not sincere. All those things are good. You see here? Provided it comes from your heart. If the heart is real. Do in thy good pleasures. This is verse 19. Then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering, then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar. Until his heart was right, then you offer, kill the lamb, and offer on the altar. And truly it will be a sweet savor to God, pleasing in His sight. My dear friend, this is the way to appropriate, to approach God and appropriate His grace, His mercy, His blessing. This is the way. Not just, God, have mercy on me. I know, Lord, You are love. Your mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. All those are true. You know, you are only reading and just reciting the scriptures. You don't mean one bit in your heart. You don't mean it. Confess. Truly confess. And you will, by God's grace, not see to sin again that sin. The leopard can change its spots by the blood of Christ. Those of you who are not Christians here, I pray that you will, God extend His love and mercy to you. He doesn't desire you to die, no? He doesn't delight in the death of a sinner. God desires that you should come to repentance. And the very fact that you are here, if you are not a Christian, and the fact you are here, you sit down very carefully, why did you come here? Why are you found here? Maybe you say, I do not know. Somebody asked me, so I come. Oh, it's by God's appointment. So don't delay. Just plead for His mercy. God is your Creator. Be merciful to me, Lord. I confess all my sins. Now make me new. And God can and will. Because He spared not even His Son to die for you. Only you, you know. God sent His Son to die for me, you know. Me. He sent Him to die for you too. And when He comes into your heart and you ask Him to change your heart, He will change. Behold, you will become a new creation indeed. And then the joy of salvation, the peace and the rest you have in your life is beyond expression. It's wonderful. And God, who is your Father, will always protect you. We who are Christians, let us learn from David how to really approach God and appropriate and get His grace, His mercy. Let us be what God wants us to be. We have sinned, as Paul said, as John the Apostle said, if you have sinned, confess your sin, and He is righteous and just to forgive your sins. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this psalm that You have given to us. Oh Lord, teach us this wonderful truth that You desire the sacrifices of righteousness first in our hearts. Thank You, Father. Thank You for Your grace, Your mercy, Your loving kindness. Just as You have, Lord, cleansed the heart of David, Your servant, when he confessed and pleaded for Your mercy, we know, Father, that You will do the same for each one of us. Thank You. Therefore, restore to us the joy of salvation, the rest, and the peace in our hearts. And may we give our life to You, Lord, to serve You, witness Jesus Christ to others, that You may be glorified. Thank You, Father. This we pray, we ask, giving You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.